House. Praise God. Well, I want you to open your Bible with me this morning to the book of 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. Somebody might say, where in the world is that at? Go to the book of Revelation and go left. You're going to run into Jude, 3 John, 2 John, 1 John. Amen. You're going to run right smack into John. From my understanding, this is the same John that Brother Scott has been talking about, the book of John. But he came over and he wrote a little bit more from my understanding. He's not John the Baptist. He's John, the son of Zebedee, that loved Jesus. He was a fisherman. He was one of the sons of thunder. He was one of Jesus' inner circle, if you will. He was one that laid his head upon Jesus' breast. And he was the John that was with Jesus' mother after the crucifixion. And John was the first one that went with, along with Peter and the others, that announced the resurrection of Jesus. So with that kind of resume, I would assume that John knew what he was talking about, wouldn't you? So when we look at 1 John, there's some things in here that I wanted to share with you today as we start this new year. And Tim, if you would have sung Victory is Mine, or Victory in Jesus today, it would have been okay. Because I thought you might do that, to be honest with you. I thought you might. Because today I want to talk to you about the victory is mine. The victory is mine. Victory is not an event. Victory is a person. Let me say that again. That victory is not an event, but victory is a person. When John began to write this in chapter 5, he opens this up in verse 1, and he says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keepeth his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Boy, that's a message right there by itself. If you really love the Lord, what John was saying is that following God is not burdensome. Following God is not, I use the word, difficult. It is not burdensome, again, to follow after the things of God. And this is what John was saying. In verse number 4, he comes up and he says these words, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh. He already explained that as he opened up verse number 4, that those that are born again are the ones that are going to be living with victory. Victory is not an event. Victory is a person. Read the rest of those verses at your leisure when you have time. When I began to think about what I would share here today, I began to think about this being the first service of the brand new year. It's often being said the way that you start the race is how you're going to finish the race. Or yet better, the way you start a project is the way that you will end the project. Now, let me talk about me for just a second. I enjoy just piddling. I'm not much of a woodworker, and I'm not much of of that type of person, crafty man, handy man. I enjoy doing stuff like that. But if I get onto a project to do something, especially building and cutting and using saws and things of that nature, I've learned through doing woodwork and whittling and doing some of the stuff that I've done years ago that there's times in my life I have to just slow down and think. I don't know whether you know this, but there's a cliche in the building trade, carpentry trade, and again, I'm not a carpenter much, but it says, always measure twice and cut once. The master carpenter is sitting right there, Brother Wayne Hardin, who helped us all around this building for years and years and years. But I said that to say this, the way that you start a project is normally the way you'll finish that. And oftentimes I will find myself getting in too big a hurry, and I'll have to make myself slow down, and I'll have to think my way through, and I'll have to just say, just slow down, and if you're going to finish this thing right, you're going to have to think about what you're doing. But yet we think about this, that we think about the word victory today, and victory is a word that often brings up a feeling of triumph or a success. And oftentimes we question how victory is actually achieved and how that goals are actually achieved and how do we actually find strength when there's so many of our days that are filled with troubles. But I want to come by just to reiterate with what time I had this morning and expound upon this simple thought that victory is not an event. But victory is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ himself. You will never be able to fully walk in complete victory through your life. Listen well, no matter what you try to do in life, there will always be a void. There will always be a vacancy. There will always be a hole. There will always be lack. If you do not have Jesus at the center of everything that you do, you say, well, you're sounding like a preacher today. Well, thank you. Because I've learned this. I'm like Brother Tim. I'm in my fourth quarter as well. Come on, somebody. Help the preacher preach. And if I've learned anything in the 62, almost 63 years that I've lived, I've learned as a Christian that I could not have lived a life on this earth at the peace, at the level that I have in my spiritual walk if it had not been for Jesus himself. If you're trying to live your life and find any sense of victory in your life, you will never be able to achieve that outside of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because God designed it that way that you and I would have a dependency and a reliance upon him. God did that. God did that. God designed it where that you and I would have this emptiness in our heart and a lack of fulfillment in our heart unless we turned our life fully and truly over to him. And you can ask a lot of people today, and a lot of people is going to give you a lot of different answers and a whole lot of different opinions. But if we be truly honest with God today, the people that are saved and born again will tell you the only way that I ever found victory over any type of addiction, over any type of struggles, any type of paralysis in my life, is when I fully gave it to God and I let Jesus Christ himself be and become my victory. Because Paul the apostle came and Paul said these words to you and to I in Romans 8 and 28. Because Paul even knew this. He knew this. That's not good English, is it? He knew this. But he knew this because he says we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. Again, let me tell you from my experience, life has been so much easier with God. I would never have wanted to live my life on this earth without him. God promises victory to the saint of God. Today, if you're struggling in your spiritual life and you're wondering, God, if you're wondering, God, how am I going to make it? How am I going to be able to fulfill my life with joy and with peace and all the things, God, that you promised? I've got the answer. I've got good news today. I've got the good news today. And again, good news, yes, the gospel, the good news of the gospel. But the good news is only found in a person, and the person is Jesus today. When we look at this again, Paul says all things work. We know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. When you look in verse 31, again in Romans 8 and 31, Paul begins his thesis of his life. He begins to look back over his life. And then he looks and he was able to, you know, all of us that are a little bit older, we can look back over our life and we can look back to when we were in our late teens, maybe in our early 20s, and we can look at our 30s and our 40s and our 50s and our 60s, and somebody's going to say in our 70s and our 80s and our 90s. I realize that. But everywhere along that journey line and along that timeline, you can see the times of your life when you were really on fire with God, and times that you sort of drifted away, times you were really focused on your spiritual life. And all along the way, you can look back over that timeline and you can see, even though I had difficulties in this spot or in this place in my life, I'm so glad that I didn't walk alone. I'm so glad that I didn't have to do this by myself. I'm so glad that I know today on this first Sunday of the new year that no matter what has come my way, I have never felt like that God had forsaken me and that I had to do it all by myself, because the victory is not in me. The victory is not in the circumstances. You can give me $1,000 today, I'll appreciate it, I'll spend it wisely, but that alone does not bring me victory, because money comes and money goes. Seasons of life comes and seasons of life goes. But my friend, if we are anchored in Jesus Christ, if our feet is upon a solid rock of Jesus, my friend, you're going to be able to look back through all the difficulties and all the challenges of your life, and you're going to look back and you're going to say, but if it had not been for Jesus, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I want to say that again. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? And Paul goes along and Paul says, if God be for us. Now there's a way to look at that scripture. If God be for us, God is for you. Amen. I want you to understand that. If God be for us, who can be against us? But here's the thing I wanted to, Brother Scott, you brought this out beautiful this morning. But if God be for us, and don't write it that way in the King James, to understand that it's not a play on words, it's just the way that wording comes out. But if God is in front of us, be for us. He's the shepherd, I'm the sheep. Brother Scott brought that out in Sunday school. If God's walking in front of me, if He is before me, if I'm joining in with what God is already doing, then he goes on in 32 and following, and this is what Paul says. In 32, he goes on to say, hey, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Let's move on quickly. 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. 34. Go quick. He says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather has risen again, who is even at the right hand of the Father, who also maketh intercession for us. Thank God that he's there right now making intercession for us. But then he goes on in 35, and I love these scriptures, and he says, but who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he says, shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And then he says in 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep before the slaughter. And then he says, if we go on, nay, in all these these things, look at this, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Let me say it like this, that we, verse 37, go back to that for a moment. Nay, in all these things, we have the victory. Amen. We have the victory through Him that loved us. Go to the next one. I ask you this today. If you had to put your spiritual life on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being great, 1 being minimum, very just barely getting by, where would you put yourself on that scale? Where would you put yourself? Where would you measure yourself? I'm talking about spiritual victory. I'm not talking about nothing else but a spiritual victory. Where would you put yourself as you start this new year? But I want to remind you again today that it's not an event. That victory is a person. And then Paul goes and he says, this is the conclusion of 38 and 39. This is what he says. For I am convinced, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, verse 39, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature, look at this, shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Somebody celebrate Jesus today. Somebody glorify Jesus today. Somebody thank Him that He is our victory today. Thank God for that today. Thank God that through turbulence and through trials and storms and temptations and everything, hey, we can look back and we can sing the old song, hey, look what the Lord has done. And we can shout today because God has never left us nor forsook us, but it is in Him that we live and we move and we have our being today. So when we think about victory today, what do we think about? I thought about several things. I thought about how that John brings this through all the way throughout the book of John. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. It's thematic. And it carries a theme all the way through. But this is one of the first things I thought about today. Is that victory over sin and wickedness. That sin and wickedness, it lost its stronghold over us at Calvary. Amen. I thought about the fact that sin is a real thing. I didn't come to edify sin today. I didn't come to magnify sin in any way, shape, form, or fashion. But I wanted to read a couple of scriptures to you that's found in the book of 1 John chapter 3. It talks about the manner of love that God has shown upon us. But verse number 6 is a very interesting scripture moving forward because it teaches us the principles of those who have been born again. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Those that have truly had a born again experience with Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus came to break the back of sin. Jesus came to break the back of the evil one, the devil, Satan. And we'll get into some of that study a little bit later on. But Jesus came, watch this, to give you absolute 100% victory over sin. Let me explain this a little bit simpler and break it down in layman's terms. You ready? You do not have to sin, and you do not have to sin every day. Now, this gets into a whole lot of different stuff, and I'm going to try to break down a little bit of it this morning. And if I don't get done, we'll see how tonight goes. I can't make no promises about tonight yet. But when you look at this, when you look in this scripture, he says, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. What does that mean? Now, hang with me. You're going to bounce with me, Kathy, for just a minute. Then we're going to go back to that. So you look in 2 2 Corinthians 5:17. So this is what he says in that scripture. We know the scripture very well. Because he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, watch this, he is a new person. He is a new creature. You're brand new. And in the process of God doing this inward, redeemable heart change, he says, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In this old thing passing away and the new, all things become new, something inside of you dies. And it is the nature, even though we're Adamic, we're Adam, we're Adam, but yet that's another part of it I didn't study. But because of Adam, sin entered into man, but because of Jesus Christ, sin was able to be removed from man. Therefore, again, at Thomasville Church of God on this first Sunday of the new year, Jesus is our victory so that you and I do not have to continue in sin and the lust thereof. That's what the Bible says, not Alan Green. You do not have to sin. You do not have to take on the stigma or the label or anything of that nature. When you hear these people say, well, all of us sin. Well, we all do have a sinful nature. But somebody says, well, do you sin? Here's my answer to you. No, I do not. On purpose and intentional. Are we okay today? This is digging the well a little deeper today, ain't it? So that's the difference between the victory and the struggle. And the victory has already been won. So look at this for just a minute. Let me just kind of walk into this for just a second. So we go back to this first John chapter number 3, and we're going to look at that because he says this again in the word in verse number 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. So we're going to just deal with that. We're going to say, okay, so the Bible says that I am not supposed to continue in my sin once I become a saint. Okay? Then he says, in him that sinneth not, whosoever sinneth, this is verse number 6, the latter part, hath not seen him, neither know him. That's where you've got to do a checkup from the neck up. You've got to check yourself. And you really got to ask yourself the question, have I really had that born again experience? I can tell you the difference between having not a born again experience and having a born again experience. Really, it narrows down to what's going on in the inside of the heart. And that again is a whole message by itself. But here's the thing. You can diagnose yourself in just a moment or two by simply asking yourself, what is in your heart? Is it in your heart to serve God? Is it in your heart to please God? Or am I still being selfish and am I trying to please myself and the lust thereof to gratify the flesh rather than gratifying the spirit? That, my friend, is a good way to evaluate yourself and ask yourself, do I truly have a born-again experience? Because a person with a true born-again experience, you have one thing in mind, and that is to walk pleasing unto God and walking in victory for Him. Again, it is not an event, it is a person, and it's in Him, my friend, that you and I have been able to overcome the wickedness and the darkness of this world. And I reiterate with a loud, resounding voice that is in Jesus Christ that you and I have been set free, and He is still today on January the 4th, 2026, the only way that you and I can live a sinless life is through Him. And some people's going to take measure with me on that. But I still say that's about half of you getting the message today. But I'll still say this. We do not have to entertain sin. Amen. That's what the Bible says. And the difference comes through a born-again experience. Here's the rest of what he said. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. my righteousness, Alan Green's righteousness, according to Isaiah chapter 1, my righteousness is as of filthy rags. But when I take on Jesus, in Him I live and move and have my being. Galatians says that I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ that lives within me. Christ. Let me just say it the way I feel it while I'm working on my introduction, by the way. Every cell, every fiber. I heard it said like this, Brother Tim. I want to be so much like Jesus that if a mosquito comes by and bites me, that he's going to fly away singing, "There's power in the blood." There's a difference. And let me just go ahead and nip this in the bud, as Barney would say. Barney and Andy. You know, all them guys that Chris Hewitt got me hooked on. I'm not anything within myself. And I guess people sometimes would have a tendency to think that we who are born again have a little bit of a tendency to have a disposition of being holier than thou. Or we would be accused of that. Let me say it like that. That's the way I meant to say it. That we have a disposition of being accused of being a little bit holier than thou. No, it's a decision that I'm going to live my life unto Jesus. And the world, again, if I had time to go into, the world walks in darkness. Brother Robert Shore, the world don't understand living for Jesus. The world don't understand pleasing Jesus. The world don't understand living for Him. So we see this in the Word again when, again, 1 John's talking about this. And he says in verse number 8, now watch the way he says this. He says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil." I didn't write this. In other words, the reason he's saying that is you have got an unconverted nature in you. There's something in you that needs to be converted. There's something in you that needs to be changed. Nicodemus was asking Jesus, and he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, you must be born again." So in this, again, John's explaining this. "For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil." What do you mean? I mean, this is a scripture that verifies the victory that you and I can have in Jesus. That we're no longer under the dominance. We're no longer under the control. We're no longer under the slave ship, if I can use that term, of the enemy of our soul. When we look at this, we again, truly, this was part of what I wanted to walk off into in the latter part of this message. I've got a whole different part of that. But he says again, when you look at this is John saying. Verse number 9, John expounds on this. John expounds on this and he says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin." Open, willing, on purpose, intentional, knowing that it's sinful when you're doing it. I didn't write this. I want to tell you how to have victory today. I want to tell you how to live your life in freedom today. I want to tell you how to live your life without the worries of The condemnation of the flesh. I'm going to go ahead and step out of limb and say it just as plain as I can say it. How to live your life without any threat of ever going to hell when you die is to live your life for Jesus. Live your life for Him. Let me say it like this. And I'm not finished. I'll pick back up, God willing, after a while. But this is what I want to say. Again, just barely scratching a little bit of what I studied for this. Barely scratching. And barely getting into a little bit of this. That if you, my friend, here today, we read these scriptures that whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. For he cannot sin because he is born of God. Let me read that again. Because for whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. I've talked about that. For his seed remaineth in him. That just simply means that we are still operative under the dominance and the domain of the Adam nature that resonates within every one of us. But yet Jesus came to cure the sin problem so that you and I can live a life of freedom and victory in Him without living in the clutches and the grip of sin and the grip of Satan. You say, well, preacher, I passed that level a long, 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 long time ago. I graduated that department a long time ago. I've walked in holiness for years, and I've walked in righteousness for years, and I don't sin. I didn't say anybody in here did do that, but I'm just saying that if you're in that category where you need to be, that you need to break free from the grip and the clutches of the enemy. God's will for your life is living in victory. It's not living in the grip of Satan. Because when we begin to look at this, we see again in verse number 10, one more verse, and he says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not right or righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, when you go back in 1 John, 1 John lays a great foundation, talks about the relationship that you can have with a brother or a sister. And that's a part of the message that I'm not going to get into right now. But as you stand with me today, I know this was short. We had a long service, but we had a lot to do. But here's where I want to ask us this question today. Because John was saying here that victory, real true victory, comes when our lives are given to Christ and our lives are surrendered to Him. Tim Hill said something one time. He said, a man on his knees can't fall far. What's the first thing we think about surrender? I have to do that slower than I used to. As we get down to God and we surrender. We give our lives to Him. We say, Lord, I surrender all. I give my life to You. I'm tired of running from You. I'm tired of being a slave to the flesh. I'm tired of living my life in bondage. And Lord, on this January the 4th, the first Sunday of 2026, I want to totally surrender my life to You. I want my life to be a life of victory, a life that is lived pleasing unto God, a life where I'm totally sanctified from the things of this world, cleansed from the, the bondages of this world and cleansed from the grip of sin and the grip of Satan. If that's you, I want you to come this morning. And I want you to do business with God today. You're not doing business with me. You're doing business with God. And say, God, here I am. Here I am, God. You might have come before. You might have been here before. But come again. Come again and say, God, this is the day. This is the moment. I'm going to nail this to the cross today. I'm going to nail the sin of my life. And I'm going to repent. Victory through repentance. Repent ye therefore, and the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. True victory comes through the gateway of repentance. As God and yourself searches over your life today, as you search over the urges of your life, the things that's in your heart today, I'm going to tell you something, friend. God will deliver you and God will set you free. God will break the yoke. God will destroy the yoke. God will have a breaker anointing upon you today. In whom the Son has said, free is free indeed. Now, this is how I want to do this morning. If you're here today and you've got the victory and you've prayed through and you know Jesus is in your heart, I want you to come and find at least one person to stand with this morning. Maybe lay your hand upon their back. And just simply be an intercessor today. Simply be somebody that can intercede for somebody else. And say, Lord, bless my brother. Bless my sister. God, I stand in the gap with them today. I stand in the gap with them today for victory in their life. Hallelujah. And Father, all around this room, every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl, we honor you today, Lord. We give you praise today, Lord. Victory. 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 We have victory over the devil. We have victory over wickedness. We have victory over the flesh. We're free from the bondages and the grip of sin. Not because of who we are, not because of what we've done. But victory was won. As that song says, victory was won at Calvary. Can you celebrate that with me today? Give the Lord an ovation of praise. Thank God for victory today. Thank God that we don't have to be pawns of the devil. We don't have to be toys of the enemy, if you will. The Bible teaches us to submit yourself therefore unto God. And to resist the devil, and he'll flee. And the only people that will work for is the people with victory and the people full of Jesus. Can you say an amen? Amen. We love you today and thank God for these that found victory. Hey, it takes hard work sometimes. I'll be honest with you. You're not going to serve God by accident. You're going to serve God on purpose, intentional, and you're going to get the victory and keep the victory on purpose, intentional. You're going to do it with intent. Serve Him every day. And I will also say this, that I found out in my life when I've gotten serious about serving God, I didn't come to glorify the devil, okay? But I will say this, when I've really got serious about serving God, Brother Ronnie Hunt, it seems like the devil turns up the heat. Troubles sometimes come. Things come out of the unexpected. Sometimes it seems like that you're in a deeper battle then than you were when you really were serious about serving God. You know what the difference is? The devil had you then, and now he don't have you. Amen. And now you're a child of God. Amen. And he's going to do everything he can to drag you back down, to get you discouraged, to get you all confused about life, and to get you back on his side. So let us therefore walk boldly. Let us walk with the assurance. As 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. Amen. We'll be back tonight at 6 for another service. Choir practice, 4:30 here in the sanctuary. God bless you. Bump elbows with somebody. Hug somebody's neck. Have a good afternoon. And we'll see you this evening. Amen. God bless you.